Okay, welcome to the show. Pinpoint Thought, Jeremy from Kentucky on your 229 broadcast on Republic Broadcasting Network. Go to republicbroadcasting.org. You know what to do. Smash that donate button. Send much-needed fundage to keep free speech alive. Call it in to 1-800-724-2719, extension 3, with your debit or credit card. And mail it in with the old boomer checkbook to Republic Broadcasting Network, 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. You are purchasing free speech for your children and grandchildren and your posterity to come. Let's keep it alive till five decades from now, that is. So tonight, we want to send out the bat signal, Commissioner Gordon. We're sending it out now. It's flashing in the sky. It's bright.
I'm a man who discovered the wheel and built the Eiffel Tower out of metal and brawn. That's what kind of man I am.
What are you?
I'm Batman.
Holy, here we go again, Batman. Holy whiskers! Holy birthday cake! Holy headache!
Holy ball and chain!
Holy triple feature!
Holy slip disc!
Holy political science analyzation. Standing well over 6'4", weighing well over 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science analyzing brawn, Dr. Patrick Slattery, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Jeremy Robin. I do want to say I support preserving free speech for our children, but not for our children's children, because I don't think our children should be having children. I don't think children should be having children. I messed that up. I don't think children should be having children.
We get it.
Can I do it again?
Do it again.
I support free speech for our children, but not for our children's children, because I don't think children should be having children. Well, we can edit it for the archives.
How about for our posterity? How's that?
Yeah. That's good. That's a good one. Well, you said for our grandchildren, so what you said was perfectly fine. I'm just channeling Deep Thoughts by Jack Handy.
You know, getting into Deep Thoughts, this is the one-year anniversary of In Plain Sight. 1 year ago today, we were on this show. How does that feel? You feel important now, don't you?
Time flies, and gosh, so it will be the four-year. My four-year anniversary will be next week.
Wow. So we've covered a lot of stuff. You know, we've had election fraud, the COVID virus regime cracking down on us, and a possible war with China and Russia looming. No lack of subjects to cover. Think about this, though. Since 2016, how far the Overton window has shifted. The Overton window being that window of topics that normies are discussing, that were our talking points, spill over into normie conville. Before 2016, no normies knew about George Soros. I didn't know about George Soros. I learned about him from David Duke. And now that's on the tip of every normie conservative lips. Even leftists, you know, talk about George Soros. And think about this, the great replacement theory. No one was talking about that before, but now they're going to be, because Tucker has brought that to the forefront. Keeping in mind that Tucker is controlled opposition in the most Orwellian way. He's having to deal with topics that the far right is talking about. So the more he talks about that, the more you know that the far right normicon is talking about replacement theory of white Europeans, not only in America, but in Europe. So this is my question. How soon will Jewish power be on the list of mainstream controlled opposition talking points? They're going to have to deal with it soon.
I don't know. Now, there was a weekend podcast that was talking about Tucker, and saying really that when Tucker talks about the great replacement theory, it's not a good thing, because what he's doing is he's channeling that he can't avoid, or the establishment cannot avoid talking about it. But what Tucker's role is to introduce the topic, but then act as if the way to push back is by electing Republicans, which actually is not fair. There is something to it, but I think overall it's really not fair, because Tucker is very explicit about calling out Republicans for all this stuff. He's been on this kick about Greg Abbott could stop the border crisis by deploying the Texas National Guard. He goes after these Republicans, and then he'll invite people like Glenn Greenwald on. Or Tulsi Gabbard, so I think the criticism was unfair to an extent, but there is something to it, because Tucker will say that, for instance, all of this immigration or the COVID tyranny, it's all about securing permanent power for the Democratic Party. So he is making. Even though it doesn't actually build up the Republicans as a viable alternative, he's explicit about that, but he does say this is all about power for the Democratic Party. And I made the case on Stormfront, I guess yesterday morning, that absolutely it's not about the Democratic Party, because nobody cares about the Democratic Party. Our political parties are not powerful institutions. You know, the people in Congress, they can be powerful, but the parties themselves are not. And nobody knows who Jamie Harrison is, but he's actually the chairman of the Democratic Party. But nobody, he's just some young black guy, because it's not an important position. And another point I made is that since 1965, if you look at the, 6 or 7 elections before 1965, 8, 9 elections before 1965, presidential elections, and then the one since 1965, the Democrats have done worse since 1965. The Democrats have, what are they, six wins and 8 losses in presidential elections. In 1965, they had super majorities in the House and Senate. They lost their majorities. Right now, you know, the Senate's 50-50 split, but, you know, if you go back over the past 25 years or so, more often than not, the Democrats aren't controlling Congress, and nobody cares about the Democrats. It's not about the Democratic Party. It is about Jewish. It is about the Jewish desire to eliminate any possibility of a white ethnic-based nationalism that would challenge their power, their permanent power. It's about permanent Jewish power. So just to finish up on Tucker, I don't know if Tucker would ever say that, but you mentioned the Overton window. Why is Tucker important, at least to observe, and to observe his phenomenon? Because he is really the edge of the Overton window. If you're defining Overton window as what can be discussed, you know, in the public sphere, in polite company, right? We're not within the Overton window. We're outside the Overton window trying to pull it in some direction. But he's I think he represents the edge of the Overton window. And so I think it is significant that he talks about these things. But of course, I have very mixed feelings about him. Back to you.
As the Democrats were losing in 1965, you did see the Republicans shift over on immigration in the 80s, you know, under Reagan, with, you know, legalizing those that were already here. What's the phrase?
I don't know if they even shifted over, because there was always a contingent that was pro-immigration, and the 65 Immigration Act passed with 85% or so Republican support, higher Republican support than Democrat support, actually.
In 65.
And that's because in 65, the Democratic Party still included the Dixiecrats, who were anti-immigration. That was the only really major anti-immigration force, was the Dixiecrats, the Southern Democrats. Everybody else was voted for, basically.
And so you had in the 80s and 90s, they're pushing immigration as well to the Democrat or the left. They would push it as well. We have to have compassion on these people. And to the Republicans, they pushed it as well. We have to have workers for capitalism. And so you had this whole block of voters who were alienated, Democrat and Republican, Democrats who cared about their unions and their jobs, and Republicans who cared about the actual genetic makeup of the country, and also, you know, Christian Republicans that cared about the Christian force in America being whittled down through this immigration. So this block of voters was alienated, and that's who Trump picked up in 2016. He picked up both Democrat and Republicans who were alienated by this new direction that the system was going into.
He picked them up, and nobody else was voicing these concerns. Nobody.
Right.
Yeah.
And so as far as Tucker, I think Tucker does try to hit these talking points and then steer you in another direction. If you heard my clip from last night when he was on the bleeding blonde bombshell whore Megyn Kelly's show, Tucker was walking it back just a bit, you know, saying, well, it's not about race. It's about politics. And we don't care what race they are. And Tucker was doing the whole thing about, you know, we don't want white displacement, not because of race, but because of voting. That's kind of what he was saying. That's why I said he's controlled opposition.
Yeah. And I ask, you know, what type of control? Because there's different types of control. You can have control where people are paid off and they just go along with things. You can have control the way Khabib, is that his name? The martial artist. He gets control, back control or wrist control over people who are fighting back, but they're still controlled. And so I don't, you know, with Tucker, does he hold back for nefarious reasons, or does he hold back because he figures he's pushing it as far as he can, and there's certain things he can't do or he'll completely lose his platform, and he's making a calculation? And I don't know. I don't know what's going on in his brain. And like I say, I get very angry at him over things. But even the things I get angry at him over, like what the things you're talking about, but also, you know, the whole vilification of China, I get mad at him. But even then, I don't know whether he's whether that's just part of some calculation where he thinks that this is going to keep him, to provide him with a continued platform for saying the things that he thinks are essential and important. I really don't know what's going on in his brain.
Hard to know the motivation, but the end is clearly seen, and it's that Tucker knows very well that it's about white displacement. But he can't say that, or he thinks he can't say that, even though Joe Biden openly says that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they point
that
out.
And he played Joe Biden saying that.
Yeah,
he played 2015. Now, one thing on the beginning of the Megyn show, because I didn't watch the whole thing, but at the very beginning, when she informed him that the ADL was calling for him to be fired again, he had a very interesting reaction to that.
Yes. much similar to my reaction to Bill Gates wanting us all to be vaccinated.
I know it was. It was very similar. And it was it seemed completely unrehearsed and off the cuff. Who knows? But, you know, we are, I don't know. I was going to mention, I was listening to Nick Fuentes from yesterday, perhaps, and when he mentioned Rochelle Walensky, the CDC chief, he just refers to her as the Jewish lady who runs the CDC.
Of course, Nick is not in the mainstream.
He's not in the mainstream. He's not in the mainstream, but unlike ourselves, he gets to rub elbows with members of Congress. Like, yeah. He'll have an event and get a few members of Congress to show up. So he's not mainstream, but what would you call it? Mainstream adjacent? Which is...
Pulling that Overton window, he is.
Yeah.
Well, one thing I wanted to ask you right off the bat before we get too deep, what's up with the Arizona election investigation? Are we going to get a Kraken? And can you see it, if I may put this into words, that would be in an apocalyptic eschatological text? Can we see the Kraken arising, the beast arising from the sea with a rider, a female rider, who looks like my 1986 English teacher? And in the right hand of the beast, there are seven Dominion voting machines. And in the left hand, there are seven briefcases of illegitimate ballots. And he cries out greatly. Where's the Kraken at? What's up with Arizona?
I have the feeling you're not going to get the Kraken, but you are going to get important evidence. Because it's not as if I'm saying there couldn't have been election machine fraud. The election machines are, if they're using proprietary source code, if they are using, if they're hooked up to the internet, if they don't have a paper trail, there's all sorts of things that could go wrong. And I'm not saying that it didn't happen. It's just that here we are, 10 months into this, and there really hasn't been the evidence of the fraud via election machines is weaker than other types of evidence. And what you are getting from this forensic audit is close to 100,000 votes that can't be matched up with registered voters. I mean, just getting all sorts of dead people. You're just getting all sorts of categories of votes that shouldn't have been counted and shouldn't have been cast.
Release the Kraken.
Yes, we definitely want the Kraken. I'm not seeing the Kraken, though. What I'm seeing is a bunch of ambiguity and an investigation that could be taken either way. I've got my leftist friends posting memes, this meme from the other 98%. The meme says, imagine paying a company called Cyber Ninjas millions of dollars to accidentally prove your candidate lost.
It's a man, baby!
By even more than you thought. So there's not enough out there that was found from Arizona thus far that's convincing anybody. The left is still saying, oh, look, Trump really lost, and the right is still saying, no, there was election fraud. So that's what I'm saying. There's ambiguity. Go ahead.
Well, the margin of victory in Arizona was, about 11,000 votes?
Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't been on top of it as carefully as, say, Mike Rivero or other people. But I think there's way, way, way more than 11,000 votes. The thing is, I mean, you can call it ambiguity. What these audits are going to turn up is votes that shouldn't have been counted. That's what it's going to turn out. And people can say, well, that's ambiguous. But there's also...
Let's pick it up on the other side of the break.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Awake every morning and the cold winds cover me. All I've got's a ghost of what could be. If you could see the lights shining in front of me. If you can see
back to the show. Welcome back to the Patrick and Jeremy show on your Tuesday night broadcast, talking about election fraud in Arizona. TheHill.com, which I sent you an article, Arizona Attorney General continues election investigation after audit flop. Arizona Attorney General Mark Brnovich has requested documents from both the state Senate and Maricopa County officials days after a report into the results of the 2020 election failed to deliver a smoking gun that would prove wrongdoing or errors behind former President Trump's election loss. As you mentioned, Patrick, I think that this initial investigation just went and recounted the votes, which is not enough. You're going to have to like verify, did anybody vote that was dead? Verify the ballots, and I think they're doing that. I think they're going to go county by county.
Okay, so I've heard, Mike Rivero go through some of the results, and I've heard Nick Fuentes read a lot of the results. I've been following certain other issues like Australia, and there's a limit on how closely you can follow so many subjects, but. What I'm seeing, because that's what I was hearing, right? What I'm seeing when I do a Google search of Arizona audit is I see all the same usual mainstream news sources, CNN and PBS and everybody else, the same places that were just automatically saying baseless allegations are saying the election audit was a flop and it proves Biden won. And I think no such thing. Because from what I heard, and I haven't had a chance to directly read the report myself, but I think this is being completely twisted. You know, if you say there were, say, 80,000 votes that were cast by voters who aren't on the rolls or things like that, who can't be shown to be on the rolls, that shows a massive problem with the election. That in and of itself doesn't say those were 80,000 Biden votes or 80,000 Trump votes. It just says that there were just massive numbers of voters who weren't on the rolls. I mean, what you're seeing is just tons of, you know, in various categories, you're just seeing, you know, probably hundreds of thousands of votes that shouldn't have been counted. But it's not necessarily saying who those votes were for. But the thing is, we know where the fraud was coming from. The fraud was coming through the mail-in ballots. And if you look at state after state after state, the in-person voting was overwhelmingly for Trump, and the mail-in voting was overwhelmingly for Biden. So even though you can say, oh, well, these 40,000 votes of in such and such category, you don't know whether they're for Biden or for Trump. But the thing is, these are mail-in votes, and that's where Biden was getting his votes. So there, yeah. On one hand, you can say, oh, it's not proving anything because it's not because you don't know what those votes were going for.
But this particular Hill article does state that Arizona's Senate report released on Friday raises serious questions regarding the 2020 election. And then the state attorney, Brnovich, said that he would be conducting a thorough review of the information that they received. So I think it's ongoing, but the media narrative is that it was a flop. So the leftists are...
Well, that's going to be the media narrative. But yeah. The media narrative was that all of Trump's claims of election fraud were baseless, baseless, baseless. But what this is showing is a lot of basis. You're seeing all these votes that shouldn't have been counted, shouldn't have been cast. You're finding, you know, more ballots were mailed out than there are registered voters. You're seeing all sorts of anomalies. And just because you can't go and say, well, this was a vote for Biden or this was a vote for Trump. And in some cases, maybe you can. But what you're seeing is the election was ripe with fraud. But, you know, there's also, and this is something that is separate from a forensic audit, but you're also...
let's pick it up on the other side.
Boxes of ballots in the middle of the night after they had dismissed election workers. Got evidence of that, too.
We'll be back on the other side.
The truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new ease-off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an ease-off drop-in lift?
Our EaseOff is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the EaseOff installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com. That's EaseOff.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved
to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org. And click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Okay, coming back to the show, Dynamic Duo breaking down the news, talking about election fraud in Arizona and the investigation thereof. Patrick, repeat that last line if you can remember it. I don't think we caught what you said last.
I mean, there's a whole bunch of issues. There's the election machines, which I don't emphasize. There's, you know, these ballots what have been counted, but you know. There's also the issue of things that we just have video evidence of irregularities, such as boxes of ballots being pulled out from under desks after audit worker. Canvassing workers and, you know, election monitors have been dismissed, and then they pull out boxes of ballots and start counting them in the middle of the night. You've got all stuff like that. You've got the more or less Black Lives Matter types that were working these canvassing offices where they count the votes from the precincts in the major cities in Philadelphia, for instance, where they were intimidating the Trump workers, keeping them too far away to do any kind of meaningful oversight, where they're taping cardboard over windows so that they couldn't be watched. I mean, there was just so much that went on, an entire different class of fraud, where you're not allowing for monitoring of the election. So the elections in the big black cities, there was no monitoring. There was no, you know, there's no safeguard there, where there was no effective monitoring. It wasn't allowed. The same thing happened in Las Vegas, by the way, which probably wasn't blacks. But that was happening even before the election took place, because they had early voting there, and already there were complaints there. You know, and Las Vegas is Clark County. Clark County is the majority of the votes in Nevada, just as this Maricopa County, which is Phoenix, that's the majority of the votes in Arizona. But yeah, so I mean, there was just so much fraud and election abuse at so many levels. Of course, the election rules being changed unconstitutionally to allow for mail-in votes, it wasn't changed. You know, the Constitution says it's the state legislatures that will decide
how the electoral votes are selected. And yet you had state secretaries of state, or, you know, these courts or people from the executive branch, not from the legislature, changing the election rules. And that's completely unconstitutional, but yet it happened. So there are so many levels where this was a stolen election. And what you're here with this election audit here, if you're going to follow it in, like the Gateway Pundit is pretty boomer, and I really don't like it that much, but it has been following the election fraud probably pretty well, and there's some other sources that have been pretty well. But you look at these mainstream sources and CNN, which were just completely stonewalling the fraud the whole time, saying baseless allegations, not reporting any of the things I just said, even though you could see the evidence. You know, there's video evidence of the what I was just describing, that anybody could have seen if they would look at it. But you know, did PBS or CNN or NBC broadcast any of it? No, they stonewalled it, and they denied that it existed, but it did exist.
It's very frustrating because we see this evidence. We see it. We understand it. Just like we see all of the hoaxing behind the COVID-19 and how there's so much disinformation out and the vaccines are deadly. But yet, similar to the COVID-19 information that we see, there's people on the left or on whatever you want to call them that refuse to acknowledge it. And the media carries on the narrative, both on the election hoax and on the COVID-19 hoax. They carry on this narrative, and people just soak it up, and they don't see what's right there hiding in plain sight. And so it's very frustrating because we see this, and it almost feels to me like that the media and all of these institutions are just kicking the can down the road. Because here's the thing. What if fraud was found? What if massive fraud was found in multiple states? Then what? What would happen? What is our constitutional way forward then? That's a question.
Well, the problem is, what I hate to say it, but there really isn't one. Yeah. I can't think of any real mechanism for going back and addressing this.
Not constitutionally, but what we would have if there was an honest reporting on this, is that, you know, we would have the American populace not supporting the Biden regime and fully supporting the rights of states to buck against that system, thus fomenting what you and I have discussed for the lull of these many months, you know, is a breaking away of the states from the federal in the means of just not enforcing whatever the federal government mandated. But we're seeing that anyway, aren't we? Aren't we seeing some states just saying we're not going to enforce COVID rules, we're not going to enforce vaccine mandates?
You see some of it. I guess you see enough that we can still maintain some hope. But there's what do the states do to buck it, but then there's also what do the people do. And the people in America have been largely quiet. You started getting, like, at the end of summer when you had these back-to-school meetings going on, as you well know, Jeremy, there you started seeing some pushback there, and now you're starting to see pushback at the against the vaccine mandates, and I've been trying to publicize it for anybody who's in the area. If you're in the Midwest and you can get to Springfield, Illinois, Nick Fuentes is having I'm sure will be a decent rally at the state capital of Illinois from 1 to 4 p.m. local time. That. But Black Lives Matter in New York is pushing, and that's actually a major development.
They're pushing against the vaccine mandates, right?
They're pushing, yeah, and I don't think this is coming from, it's obviously not coming from Susan Rosenberg or the three black lesbians who invented the Black Lives Matter hashtag. But it's coming from, like, the local people who might not get the memo, might not care about the memo, they might think that Black Lives Matter is actually, they might be under the mistaken impression that Black Lives Matter is a grassroots organization. But nevertheless, if they're going to get out there and start saying this is all racist, that the mandates are racist, well, good for them. That will make it easier, probably make it easier for everybody to push back.
A good example of the system not being all powerful and losing control of, you know, their broken eggs, their useless idiots. Is that the word? Oh, by the way, if you guys want to call in, we probably have time for two or three callers, 512-248-8252. Only a few callers, though, so we're only going to select the top few. But back to this, you know, we did, as you mentioned, we won a great victory in Kentucky with the school board meetings sort of led to the legislature winning a victory with the state Supreme Court. Limiting the governor's power to 30 days in an emergency and stating that the state school board cannot mandate masks for all students, that's up to the local school boards. That's a tremendous victory. And so then I guess I see why they don't want to release all this information about the election hoax, because what you would get, even though we don't have a constitutional avenue to push back and to go forward with removing Biden, what we would have would be public support and pushing back against all of these mandates. We would have way more public support if indeed the election hoax was made, you know, to the populace, was the case was made. You see what I mean? We would have a lot more public support, and that would lead to more instances of what you see in Kentucky.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sure it would.
And that's why the media is clawing and desperate to maintain this narrative that was all flop and that there was no election hoax to see here. So I just wonder how long they can maintain that facade. The information will come out eventually. It's got to. And when it does, you'll have a huge public backlash and just completely disregarding the federal government and acknowledging that it is illegitimate.
Well, our opponents have stitched together a coalition that really it doesn't stick together naturally. And so it's, you know, a coalition of artificially aggrieved blacks, of smug liberals, homosexuals, immigrants, you know, illegal immigrants, illegal immigration, billionaires, you know, corporate types. They don't have similar interests. I mean, blacks really, they have no interest in mass illegal immigration. Do they really have any interest in promoting gayness and trannyism? You know, these woke liberals who are baristas at Starbucks, what interest of theirs does Google represent? You know, they just don't cling together naturally. And I think this is going to, if Black Lives Matter starts rioting against these mandates, it's, you know, then what? I think it's unraveled.
You add into that mix, you know, tens of thousands, maybe more, medical professionals not taking the vaccine, and the medical, you know, establishment crumbling, the military crumbling because so many young red-blooded patriots are not going to take the vax. And man, we are realistically just sitting here painting a picture of the collapse of America, very similar to the Soviet Union that you've compared it to.
Yeah. And I think within days, you've in New York City, because of de Blasio and this governor, Hoochie or whatever her name is.
Let's call her Hoochie Coochie.
I think that's her name. Anyway, because of them, you've got, I think, literally hundreds of thousands of New Yorkers who are on the verge of losing their jobs if they don't get the vaccine.
Wow. And container ships being held up, shelves being bare. Man, this is leading up to a perfect storm of collapse. And I'm not saying that I'm looking forward to it, because it's going to hurt. it might be a good thing in the long run, but the short run is going to be a bitch. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And you know, they're just clamping down. And just as, you know, we could only find the it's very hard to find anything but the corporate, the official narrative, the kosher narrative on the election. Try finding information about the demonstrations in Australia. And,
exactly.
You know, sooner or later, the information is going to come out. Although, you know, a lot of it is time sensitive, but they're clamping down like never before.
We covered that on Fridays when I filled in for John on National Intel. I had Mark Dankoff and Paul Stevenson. We covered that Australia blackout, a total blackout. And my whole thing was like, well, you know, I don't know if Australia is an experiment or if it's totally organic and the system is just losing control. But regardless of what you view on that, the response of the system is to just black out information, just cut the net off. And I think that's what they would do here should that collapse happen. They would just try to cut us out of all information so we wouldn't know.
Well, I mean, really, how much of a departure is that from what they've done already in terms of just kicking people off of platforms, the deplatforming and the censorship? And so shutting down big parts of the internet, shutting down the ability to stream, which is what they were doing in Australia last week. We're really, really coming to a tyranny. And that's, you know, it's a good thing that the Black Lives Matter people are going to come out in New York and maybe some other cities. But it's also important to have like intelligent people with proper narratives out there. And that's why I've been promoting Nick Fuentes's, because these groupers are young, but they see things clearly. And you know, when I went to some of these like Stop the Steal rallies, and the official people, like the official people in Washington D.C. Who were speaking, they were dumb. They were saying stupid things that were just annoying or infuriating. You know, these were like the C and D list MAGA people. But so it's important to have, you know, rallies with good leadership. And I think that's going to happen. I think Nick Fuentes, he was effective. He was probably the most effective person at getting sane people out to resist the Stop the Steal. And so anyway, I think it's an important development. I think we're just going to have some in real life demonstrations pushing back against this.
You know, you've got that, and you've got our platform and RBN. I mean, RBN was shut down not too long ago, you know, in a way on the website, because, you know, the website featured a video of the Christchurch shooting, and it was shut down real quick. That, you know, we're not just out here, folks, saying to donate to RBN just because that's something we have to say. It's important that John has money and resources that if we are shut down, he's able to, you know, finagle and go a different route to get us back on the air, because this is a very important platform.
It is. I mean, where else are you hearing this? The only other places where you might have heard this type of information are places that have been shut down already.
Yeah, yeah. Well, before we hit the break, which is looming on us, I wanted to bring up, you mentioned, you know, how that this, you know, Biden is basically talking about making voting by mail permanent. California has done that. And this is according to DailyStormer.su, also known as John Carpenter's Hoax Watch. California makes universal vote by mail permanent. And Anglin quotes a KERO article. As first reported by the LA Times, California's universal voting by mail will become permanent, a permanent feature for every registered active voter in the state, after Governor Gavin Newsom signed Assembly Bill 37 into law on Monday. There you go, legislation in California. It's a done deal. Back on the other side. No food or sleep and crazy. What's becoming my new norm? I'd pass out on the bedroom floor, sleep right through the calm before the storm.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
For over 20 years now, Extendivite has proven time and again, it really works. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. I received an arterial switch at birth. In my mid-20s, I started getting slight runs of NSVT. Nothing too serious, but enough to cause worry. I started taking Extendivite a little over 2 years ago, and it helped cut the palpitations and NSVT down drastically. This isn't a cure-all supplement. I strongly recommend a good diet and exercise to aid in any heart troubles you may be having, and I strongly recommend giving Extendivite a try. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
It is useless to resist us.
Going crazy, but lately my head and my heart seem daily stay a million miles apart. And my heart says to love you, my head says to run. It's like my heart is too afraid to tell my head what it's done. I know that it can never be the way it was, even though you'll be the death of me. I can't give you up. Too much is not enough. It's not the lust, it's not the lust that grips me.
Must be the whiskey. Coming back from the break, throwing a little outlaw country at you. Anyway, we're talking about California changing their voter laws to allow mail-in voting permanently. Legislation. So, what do you think about this, Patrick? What do you got?
Well, it's the institutionalization of voter fraud. I mean, this is. The thing is, California is already almost a lost cause, and you know, I don't know why they would need fraud anyway, but whatever. Although, you know, you did have, you had Arnold Schwarzenegger win two terms as a Republican, but he was kind of a liberal Republican. I don't know. But the thing is, this is coming to a state in an election near you, you know, and that's the thing. They're trying to erase any pretense of electoral democracy in this country.
Yeah, I mean, we've always heard, you know, what happens in California is, you know, coming pretty soon to the rest of America. It's sort of a precursor to what we can look forward to, unfortunately. But they're going to have a lot of trouble with a lot of these states and our conservative so-called legislatures in changing this. I don't think they're going to – I think it's going to be an uphill battle for them, you know. Like, well, our legislature in Kentucky is very conservative. Go ahead.
Well, here's one angle that people would take, that if California having done this, they should be expelled from the union because the Constitution requires the states to have Republican forms of government. And yeah, you know, what's happening in California, I mean, it's just oligarchic. How is that a Republican form of government?
And so not only are they, you know, bringing in millions of third worlders to shift the vote, and which, you know, we know it's really about white displacement, but also it is true. They're not wrong. I mean, they're going to get voter blocks out of these people.
Screw you.
But they're seeking to change the legislature.
When they fake elections, do they even need voters?
No.
Why do you need to import voters if you're going to fake elections?
Yeah. So really, it's not at all bringing in all the third voters. It's not all about elections. It's about simple white displacement. They can change elections by just like what they did in California. But we're at the end of the show, and it went by fast, and nobody called in. So I guess you guys are just fascinated by the conversation. We will pick this up on Patrick and Jeremy Part 2, also known as National Bugle, at 1 p.m. Central on RBN Wednesday. Be there or be queer.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. F*** you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central, and Wednesday at 1 Central.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.